It was October 8th, 2015, when I presented to you my last State of the University address. Early in that message, I lamented that Illinois State was 3 months into FY 2016, and still there was no state appropriation for public universities. 3 months. Imagine that. We had no idea what was ahead. During that particular message, I also warned it could be some time before the legislature and the governor agreed on a budget, and that the budget might be less. In fact, I think I used the words much less than the previous year. Sadly, I was correct, but I never had the idea to predict that the governor and the General Assembly would take an additional 10 months and 3 weeks to agree on a final stopgap measure. That's an almost unthinkable amount of time, until, of course, you stop to think that it could happen again this year. I deliver this FY 2017 State of the University address in the same Illinois fiscal environment as I offered last year's address, and that is with less state support, without a full budget in place, and without any reimbursement for the funds this university provides for its students with the greatest financial need through the Monetary Assistance Program, which is the state's program, but the university is paying for that. But just like last year, I delivered this message, and this year I'm filled with the same kind of optimism and the same kind of positive attitude and outlook that I had last year. We received a total of $59.2 million in state stopgap funds last year, about 18% less than our state appropriation from the previous year. Fortunately, we were prepared for it. As I like to say, we planned our work and we worked our plan. We eliminated or left vacant more than 100 non-faculty positions. We reduced spending by $11 million on everything from non-safety related construction and maintenance projects to large equipment purchases to freezing merit-based salaries for the year. We brought in the largest freshman class last year in 26 years, growing total enrollment and increasing the number of underrepresented students while building quality, increasing our prestige, while also contributing to our bottom line. We celebrated the second best philanthropic year in Illinois State's history, raising more than $21.6 million in gift commitments from alumni, corporate partners, friends, and members of our own university family who sees this institution's bright future and are willing to invest in success. We kept our debt low. In fact, we held the lowest debt burden of any public university in the entire state of Illinois. And we made it. We ended the last fiscal year with two words I've used over and over again. We were strong and stable. But we also watched as many of our sister universities teetered on the brink of insolvency, unsure whether they would greet the fall 2016 semester with open doors. And now, we all face going through that exercise again. Illinois public universities have been told that the 12th-hour funding we received on June 30 will have to sustain our campuses through the first 6 months of this fiscal year, allowing the General Assembly and the governor to move past November elections and into calendar year 2017. Again, Illinois State University will be prepared. We will further cut operational spending and eliminate or leave vacant more administrative-related positions. And by the way, that number has now reached 110 positions. We will complete only the most important construction and maintenance initiatives, and we will again hold the line on large equipment purchases and spend fewer dollars on university-wide events. But again, I am confident that we will emerge strong and stable. We will again put our students first by keeping our professors in the classroom and our support staff in their offices. And again, I do not see a circumstance where we will have to resort to layoffs or furlough days, something that has already happened and will continue to happen, in my estimation, at many other colleges and universities throughout the state. We will also again pay forward to our nearly 4,000 students who receive the MAP funding, those with high financial need, the millions of dollars they need to attend classes and pay for housing, books, food, and clothing. In my estimation, we have a moral and ethical contract to teach and support all of our students that we admit, and I intend to keep that regardless of their financial ability to pay their bills here. My greatest worry today is how many more times will I have to say the word again, and how many agains remain for Illinois State University, and how many fewer agains must remain for many of the other Illinois institutions. There's no question Illinois remains in a financial crisis, a crisis that is often exacerbated by partisan political gridlock. Maybe November's election will bring a solution to the contention, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. And when I make that statement, our family's had a farm in its history since 1863, so I don't use that phrase lightly. But until a long-term financial solution is determined, our state leaders must find ways to compromise and end this piecemeal approach to funding our state's most precious resource, the higher education of its citizenry. Legislators were able to reach across the aisle on April the 22nd and on June 30th of this year, but left in the wake of those late agreements were institutions facing fiscal disaster, threats of closure, large-scale layoffs, shattered morale, and a terrible impression on Illinois students and their families who were shopping for a college education. We may not determine a FY 2017 financial path until after the November elections, but the conversations should begin now, and those conversations must answer the question, how does the state of Illinois value higher education? How do we reflect the value with investment? And how can colleges and universities respond to that investment by keeping college affordable and accessible to students and families? Those discussions should begin immediately, and indeed, the two senators and the representatives who are here today, and I've had conversations last year and fairly recently, and we continue to have those conversations. I appreciate their willingness to talk and to work toward a solution with all of this. But we must put aside the vitriol and fear-mongering that has too often become the backdrop for political and social discourse. I recently read a blog in the Huffington Post written by David Maxwell, who up until his retirement about 18 months ago was a presidential colleague from Drake University. Citing as pretext the sometimes venomous language that is part of this year's presidential race, Dr. Maxwell wrote that colleges and universities and their leaders have become victims of this disintegration of civility in public discourse. As I repeat a passage from his blog, think back on some of the stories you've read about public higher education over the past year or so. Referring to university leaders, Maxwell writes, quote, "Thanks to the hyperbolic and mostly inaccurate portrayals of higher education by sensationalist media and politicians, we are often cast as overpaid villains leading institutions that are too expensive, too elitist, with students majoring in irrelevant subjects and who don't get jobs when they graduate with crippling loan debt." I would ask, does any of that sound familiar to you? It was unfortunately and inaccurately a common theme this last year. The narrative was based on a few gross examples of higher education administrative mismanagement and used by some who bashed public higher education or lambasted individuals with opposing political views. I'm pleased to report that I think some of that language has changed in the last several months. But of all that poison dialogue, it really got us nowhere. And unless that dialogue changes, it may very well get us nowhere again. There are many good reasons that university presidents don't take sides politically, but that doesn't mean we cannot or should not be passionate about education policy. And for more than 40 years, I've been passionate about public higher education policy. Another favorite author of mine is Dr. Ernest Boyer, a distinguished scholar who served several public universities, the Carnegie Commission, and was an assistant secretary of education. One of Boyer's favorite topics was the notion of community. In fact, he wrote a book about that. Boyer believes a community exists when it is, as he writes, quote, educationally purposeful, just, open, disciplined, celebrative, and caring. I agree with Boyer's criteria, and I would add that an educated citizenry must be the foundation of any community, and that a community must be grounded in ethical decision-making. If our political, business, social, and educational leaders can use those benchmarks as a starting point, our conversations about the future of higher education in Illinois will be more civil, and our outcomes perhaps much more successful. As the convener of the 9 Public University Presidents Group, I can report to you that those conversations have already begun right here on our campus among college and university presidents and chancellors, the Illinois Board of Higher Education, and some Illinois governmental leaders as recently as last week. As we make the case collectively for public higher education, I pledge to continue making the case for Illinois State University using what I will call today our metrics of excellence. As members of the university family, you are responsible for those metrics, and I am proud to share some of those metrics with you now. Just over a week ago, I participated in a news conference on campus to reveal ISU's 2016 fall census. The total number of new freshmen and the total number of students and how those students reflect our academic quality and our diversity. We decided to hold a news conference instead of simply issuing a press release, not because we set a 27-year record for our new freshman class, which we did, not because our total enrollment went over 21,000 students, which it did, but because we achieved that success in what was probably the most difficult recruiting environment in our entire history as a university. Not only is the number of graduating high school students shrinking, not only is there increasing competition from border state institutions, but the economic and political chaos that shadowed Illinois for the entire year made it extremely challenging for any public university in Illinois to bring students to their campuses. But Illinois State again met this challenge, and we begin this year with 3,638 new freshmen and a total enrollment of 21,039 students, and I think that is just simply remarkable. 217 freshmen scored 30 or better on the ACT. That's up 3% for us. Two scored a perfect 36. And Jay Groves and I were in Chicago last week at the Black Colleagues Association, and he said, you know, I too scored a perfect 36. I took the ACT 3 times and I scored 12 each time. These individuals took it once and scored a perfect 36. That's pretty rarefied air. We've also had at least one freshman on campus who went from kindergarten through high school and never missed a single day of class. So we have talent and we have stamina. I met her at the Pig Out with the Prez just this last week, and her record continues. I'm also proud to say that one-fifth, or approximately 20%, of our student population comes from traditionally underrepresented groups, with a 10% increase in African-American students and a 9% increase in Latino-Latina students. So we have strength also in our diversity. Everyone in this room deserves a measure of credit for creating a university that, even in Illinois, remains a destination for motivated, high-achieving, and diverse students. But I also want to specifically thank the staffs of enrollment management, admissions, financial aid, housing, registration, and university college and academic advising for their extra efforts in a truly phenomenal recruiting year. And I would like to ask those staff members from those various units to please stand for recognition. Would you stand for us, please? Thank you very much. You make us very proud and very viable. Our hat is off to each of you. Students who start at Illinois State also stay at Illinois State and graduate from Illinois State in nationally ranked percentages. Our current retention rate is 82%, and our graduation rate is 73.4%, that puts us in the top 10% in the nation for both categories. Our students graduate, they graduate on time, and they get good jobs. Almost one-third of Illinois State students graduate with no college-related debt at all. Of those that do incur some debt, the average is lower than the national average of $25,500 by about $3,000. So if they do have to take out loans, their loans are less than the national average. Here's a sterling metric for you. ISU's student loan default rate is 2.8%. That's 9 percentage points lower than the national average of 11.8%. So we're producing students who graduate, get good jobs, get jobs that pay them well, and have the social consciousness to repay their loans. That indeed is really terrific. More metrics of excellence. In the coming weeks, USA Today will release the 2017 College Guide with Illinois State earning accolades for value. The university was named 22nd in the nation as a best college for the money out of more than 1,200 schools across the country. 22nd out of 1,200. Quite an accomplishment. Earlier this week, U.S. News & World Report released its annual college rankings, and I'm pleased to say that ISU ranks 78th among the best national public university. That keeps us in the top 80 and actually is up one notch from last year and second among public universities in the entire state of Illinois. ISU also routinely appears in national publications that rate schools for their quality and for their value. Publications such as Money Magazine, Kiplinger's, Business Week, The Washington Monthly, and others. I'm also proud of the independent verification the ISU treats its veterans and servicemen and women well. And if any of you are in the audience today, thank you for your service, and it's our pleasure and our pride to offer you service at this university. As a member of the nation's Coalition for Access, Affordability, and Success, Illinois State is embarking on a partnership that is boosting the university's academic reputation and increasing our visibility to students and their families across the country. We are in an inaugural class of 77 of the nation's top universities when the coalition began. And when you think about that, there are roughly 4,700 colleges and universities in the nation. We're in the top 77, invitation-only kind of criteria to be among this in this coalition. The invitation to participate was extended only to universities with the nation's strongest track records of providing student access, success, and affordability. In short, Illinois State joins an elite group of universities thanks to its exceptionally high graduation rate, its overall affordability, and low student debt and default rates. Thanks to the good work of many across campus, enrollment management and admissions, the Data Stewardship Council, and administrative technologies, we will begin accepting admission applicants through this new nationally prominent entity. Only four universities in Illinois are members of this coalition: the University of Chicago, a private university, Northwestern University, a private university with not as good of a football team as we have, that one's for you, Brock, and all the players. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois State University. Pretty doggone good company, I would say. And speaking of company, as I mentioned, our Redbird football team played in the company of the Big Ten last Sunday. We went into the den of the Wildcats and brought home our first ever Big Ten football victory. So congratulations to our Redbird football team, Coach Brock Spack, his assistants, and the entire athletics department. I had mentioned to Larry Lyons prior to that is that if we can not have anybody injured at that game, bring home a win and a check, it doesn't get any better than that, and it didn't get any better than that. We're very proud of them. Our Redbird student-athletes are not only the stars on the field of play, but also in the classroom. On the turf, we back the Birds to two team championships in football and in women's track and field. 85 student athletes were named all conference, and 16 were individual champions in their respective sports. Two of our Redbird alums also competed in the Summer Olympics. In the classroom, Redbird student athletes combined to record a department record high of 3.23 cumulative GPA in the spring of 2016. 89 student athletes earned a perfect 4.0 grade point average for the semester. Our athletes also put our value of civic engagement into practice by performing over 2,600 hours of community service. So congratulations to all the student athletes, to the coaches, staff members who so tirelessly support them. We're very, very proud of you. Perhaps, though, the accolade that brings me the most satisfaction is the one we just received about 2 months ago from the leading publication in our field, The Chronicle of Higher Education. In July, the university was designated by The Chronicle as, quote, a great place to work. It was an achievement the university earned in two Chronicle categories last year. This year, Illinois State received honor roll designation because of its high rankings in multiple categories, including collaborative governance, respect and appreciation, and work-life balance. The only question I had, and people have asked me about it, was that work-life balance issue. I said, are you sure we were in there for that one? But we were. It's especially gratifying that the Chronicle's assessment includes an independent and confidential survey of faculty and staff members at the nominated institutions. We at ISU play no role in gathering or reporting the data, and that shows me that even in challenging times, we not only support our students, but we support each other. As we reflect on our accomplishments, we will also begin updating our strategic plan, Educating Illinois, and embark on a busy and ambitious 2016-17 academic year at Illinois State. My agenda includes many initiatives. We will continue our efforts to bring more international students to our campus to increase ISU's geographic and ethnic diversity. At most universities of our size, the international population is somewhere between 5 and 10%. We're about 2 or 3%. This year, we will contract with what is known as a pathway provider, a third-party entity that partners with universities to recruit international students. This does not compete with our existing international student program, but rather complements it. Our efforts will not deny access to qualified Illinois students who want to attend ISU, but a university that aspires to prepare students for success in a competitive global environment should welcome and educate more students from around the globe. We also will encourage more of our students to study abroad. Indeed, Marlene and I last night were in a class dealing with Vladimir State University, and a number of our students who went over there last year, and we were talking about doubling the number of our students who would potentially go abroad. ISU's Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning is taking shape and will progress as the academic year unfolds. I'm pleased to tell you that the center will move into its new home at the corner of Fell and North Streets as early as October. Under the leadership of Dr. Jan Patterson, several civic outcomes assessment projects are currently underway. These involve our newest students who are enrolled in COM 110, students in the Civic Engagement and Responsibility minor, and former students participating in the alumni survey. Illinois State received national recognition for its efforts to develop a coordinated and sustained approach to comprehensive community engagement when members of the Civic Engagement Task Force presented at the Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement meeting in Indianapolis this past June. Goals for the year include the development of a campus civic action plan, the development of a website, and the formation of a community advisory group to create additional mutually beneficial campus and community partnerships. Meanwhile, just 2 weeks ago, the Illinois Board of Higher Education authorized Illinois State to establish a National Center for Urban Education. Dr. Robert Lee, who also directs the Chicago Teacher Education Pipeline, will serve as the executive director of the center, which will be funded through federal, state, municipal, community, and corporate grants. The mission of the center is grounded in social justice and works from a community-based approach to cultivate and sustain transformative, resilient, and effective public schools. The center will address three current needs in urban education, which are reducing the human and capital costs of high teacher attrition rates, preparing culturally informed and responsive teachers for the reality of demographic change, and finally demonstrating the value of community-based partnerships to enhance shared educational goals. Another initiative this year flows from the campus climate assessment that was completed this past April. Following the campus-wide release of that assessment, I announced the formation of a task force to address the report's findings and also its recommendations. The task force numbers 27 members. They've already begun their work, which will span the entire academic year. I would like to introduce you to the Task Force Steering Committee, which represents faculty, staff, students, and alumni. They are Doris Houston, Dave Bentlin, Guadalupe Montalvo, Rick Lewis, and Ryan Powers. Could you all please stand for recognition? I want to thank you and all the task force members for the work that you've done and the work that you will do on this very important project for the university. The task force will review climate assessment findings and bring recommendations to me and to other members of our leadership team, including Provost Cresci, Vice President Johnson, and also Trustee Ann Davis. While I know we cannot implement every recommendation immediately, I am committed that this assessment will serve as a call to action for the entire university community. Meanwhile, Illinois State's already responded to some of the assessment data. The ethics functions from the Office of Equal Opportunity and Access have been moved to our Office of Internal Audits, and we are in the final stages of searching for our next director of the Office of Equal Opportunity and Access. Also, the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology will offer three sessions on the foundations of diversity and inclusion this October and November. Faculty and staff members can participate in these discussions by contacting CTLT to register for those two important offerings. Other events this fall include a two-day on-campus conference, a culturally responsive campus community, to be held on October 24 and 25. The conference is free, and I've added a registration link to the president's website. In addition, the Committee Assisting Undocumented Student Achievement, better known as CAUSA, held a program last week for K-16 educators to help them understand our diverse population and, more importantly, the legal obligations and responsibilities that we have as educators. CAUSA is a faculty, staff, and student group interested in raising awareness and supporting undocumented students and their families at Illinois State University. ISU is also making progress with all-gender restroom facilities. New on campus this fall, there are all-gender facilities on the first floor of the Bone Student Center, the third floor of Schrader Hall, and on the first and fourth floors of Hovey Hall. As this year progresses, we will add more all-gender facilities in the Bone Center and work with campus groups to determine which buildings on the quad will also contain all-gender facilities. Other initiatives this year include advancing our culture of philanthropy. Illinois State is 1 year away from what we hope will be the public launch of the university's second comprehensive fundraising campaign. Under the leadership of Vice President Vickerman and his staff, we will continue our preparation to further expand the fundraising enterprise in support of our direction. I've also often said that the mission of any university is, and particularly here, is to change lives. And while gifts are not meant to replace operational dollars, they do provide a margin of excellence, creating and adding to student scholarships, supporting faculty, enhancing facilities, acquiring technologies, and supporting co-curricular programming. You know, the university has achieved remarkable success in bringing gift commitments to Illinois State over the last 3 years. It's very energizing to visit with donors and hear the impact ISU has had on their lives. Marlene and I and Pat and his staff traveled to many different places and talked to lots and lots of donors. I can tell you that the pride that our alums have in ISU and the experiences that they had here are really palpable, And thanks to all of you for making their experiences rich ones, ones that will allow them and convince them to invest in higher education, in particular higher education here at ISU. They understand firsthand the significance of an ISU degree and want to ensure future generations of students and scholars receive the same life-changing experience. The positive trajectory of the university has created momentum for our comprehensive campaign, and I am confident that our students, faculty, staff, and donors will continue to step up to strengthen the ISU experience. And of course, the other kind of campaigning I will be doing this year will be in Springfield, further raising awareness that Illinois State's metrics of excellence have earned us international prominence and respect and deserve predictable and stable state investment. As I do so, I will again ask for and appreciate the participation and assistance of our faculty, staff, students, alumni, retirees, and friends. I will also be thankful for the support of our local legislative contingent and your presence here today, Representative Brady and Senators Brady and Berrickman, are indicators that, to me, you care about us and we appreciate your good work. But all of us must raise our voices to be heard. They can't do it alone. It needs to be a statewide effort, and I'm confident that they will help lead that charge. And finally, placing the education and support of our students as our top priority demands I do everything in my power to attract and retain the most talented and student-centered faculty and staff members possible. I believe we have just that kind of faculty and staff here, and you deserve to be fairly compensated for your service. Therefore, this fall, I will have discussions with our financial and budgeting leadership and our shared governance leaders about the potential for a modest mid-year merit-based salary increase for faculty and staff members. In this continuing climate of financial uncertainty, I cannot make a guarantee, but I do want you to know that it is important to me. You deserve it, and I will be working on it. One more message for our students, although it really applies to all of us, and that is one of the best ways we can put Illinois State's value of civic engagement into action is by voting. So I encourage everyone to exercise your right to vote on November the 8th. I know that during the primary elections, students experience some long waits to register and vote, particularly in the Bone Student Center. I am told those issues have been resolved, and with the opportunities for advanced registration and early voting, I hope for a big voting turnout from the Redbird Nation. And I hope our faculty and staff members will also elect to participate in this year's State Employees Combined Appeal Campaign. There are a variety of organizations in McLean County, around the state, and throughout the country that need our help, and the Seek a Campaign is a great place to contribute to those worthy goals. And again, I want to say thank you for your time and attention. Thank you so much for your support over these past 2.5 years. I am grateful for your service. I am proud to work with each of you every day. Marlene and I are proud to be a part of the Illinois State University family. And I want to end this address with a message that I hear oftentimes very early in the morning from colleague Danielle Miller-Schuster, who offices right down the hall. And she generally starts her day whenever she gets a phone call by saying, "Hello, it's a great day to be a Redbird. And indeed, it's a great day to be a Redbird. Go Redbirds." Thank you very much.